Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for this another beautiful evening. Lord, we thank you for the rain that's coming down in this dry land where we live. Lord, we pray for the rain of your Holy Spirit to come down upon our spirit, upon our souls. Lord, how we need you. Lord, we can't see you with our eyes, but Lord, we want to feel you with fingers of faith. We want to see you with the eyes of our spirit. Lord, we want to look upon you someday in that wonderful heaven. We ask that you would touch Brother Freedom in a wonderful way and help him, Lord, touch him to bring out these wonderful points that you have given by the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Bless those wonderful listeners. Amen.
Lord, we just praise you. We thank you, for you are the most special. Oh, I can't describe how special you are. Lord, you're so real. You're so faithful. And Lord, I just praise you. I know I'm not much, but Lord, you're so everything. I mean, I don't know how that you could even look on somebody like me, because you have all heaven. You control all people. And even though they don't know it, but they're under your control. Because you control the rain. You control the sun. You control our air. You control our space. You control everything. And men are so, they don't see this, but they have to be blind, Lord, because you have everything. That's your command. And you're at your disposal. If you want to, anything that you want to drop, you can drop it. And everything's under your power. And we just give you glory, praise, and honor for this wonderful, this most special day. For surely this is your day. And I rejoice. We're glad in it. Father, I feel your presence this night. I feel your spirit. And I feel that you're alive. And real, I pray that you make yourself powerful this night in the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, we just pray for a mighty blessing upon your people this night. We pray that you'll encourage them, strengthen them, uphold them, lift them up, encourage them. And Father, we just pray for that one that's sick in body, healed, bring healing to that body, take away that pain. Father, I just pray for miracles to take place this night in your body of your people this night. And Jesus, of those that are sensitive to your spirit, I pray that you'll move upon their hearts all over the world this night. If you're there, listen to this, I pray that you'll lift your hands and praise God, and the Spirit of God will come down and touch you. If you're hurting somewhere, put your hand, your right hand on that spot, and you claim healing right now. And I believe that you're going to be healed. I believe there's going to be miracles this night. I believe that those that have been discouraged, you're going to come out of discouragement. You're going to be set free. And I believe for those that haven't had a need, that God's going to meet your need this night. He's going to help you in a mighty way. He's going to perform miracles for those that believe. I believe that great things are going to happen. And Father, we claim it. We claim victory in Jesus' wonderful name. To God be all glory. To God be all praise. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we thank you. Oh, Lord, we praise you because of you. All things are possible. And we believe that those things, there's nothing that you will withhold from them that walk upright before you, Father. We give you glory, praise, and honor, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know whether anybody knows what eating the Word of God is, but I learned it years ago. It's when you take the Word of God and you actually, it's getting in your spirit, but it's not distracting you. You know, you can read the Word of God and it just distracts you so much that you can't go any farther because you're troubled on what it said. If you're really honest, that's what happens. And God wants us to eat this word, when it gets inside of here. The Lord showed me today something, a real revelation. The Lord showed me that our churches, everything that we do in the natural church is done by who knows the most word, or who's the most knowledgeable to the word. The Lord says that isn't how he gauges Christians. It's how they take the word and live with the word. That's how he gauges it. You can be the smartest person in the world and still miss out with God. You can be a show-off. I don't really cut any ice with God. I don't cut anything with him. But you start taking that word and living, eating that word and making it become your life. I can do all things through Christ's respect. It says, I can do all things. And I must believe that. But I don't have to just let it bother me so much that I've lost. I've put it in my spirit, so stay there. Now I'm open for another bite of food. Another bite of food says, be ye strong in the Lord and the power of might. I don't get them confused because there are two different meanings there. Be ye strong in the Lord and the power of his might. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright before him. That's another You can't be hung up so heavy on this one that you don't hear the rest of it. And that's what we do in this, the fundamental believing. We just get hanged up on one little word and people argue about it. I've seen them argue. They have great contests. Who's the smartest and all these things. I know when I used to go to a Full Gospel Witness meeting, we had about three guys there. All they would do is argue. They just ruined the service. Then we had a lady there. She told them one night to shut their mouths up because they weren't very smart. And you know, her voice shut those three men up. That needed to have been done a long time ago. Some men should have taken that same position. But they just ruined services many times. Either the Spirit of God would be moving. They just cut in. They were just anti. And here they say, well, I'm going to argue the word. Well, there's no arguing the word. We're not to argue with the word. We're to take it as it is and eat it. It becomes life. And that's really how I become so much, say, remembered scriptures, because I just eat it. And pretty soon after a while, it was like that eating just come out. My brother one time, he chewed on his fingernails, and my mother, she told Paul, she says, if you don't quit eating your fingernails, they're going to come out of your stomach. And so she went and got some thylage and painted his whole stomach. And boy, did Paul get the picture. Yeah, I'm not going to eat. Mama, I'm not going to eat no more my fingernails. And he didn't. But that's what we can do. We can get so much the word, it starts coming out of our system. And that's what we need to do. It sort of comes out of it. We're living what we're putting in to, because it's food. See, we take the natural food. It's got calories in it. It has the proteins in it, fat, all these things that our body can, it actually digests it into strength. Or that's what we are, is what we eat. And the word's the same way. What we eat is what we are. Until you eat the word, you're really going to be just lean. Just going to be poor like an old cow that never chews his cud. And we got to let the word of God get alive within us. That word of God, as we eat it, it becomes a source of power. We're not eating just to be smart or to even do it, but we're just eating it because God's going to let us grow while we eat the word of God. The Bible says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. Then, if you abide in me, all these things shall come to pass. You abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. That's the word of God. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. There's great power to the word of God. Great power. And God says it's power. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why we have to have rightly dividing the word of truth. We divide it by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God becomes alive within us and it digests that word and it gives us the unction from heaven to know what that word really, and we can read that word maybe 50 times and get a different meaning out of it then. Because the Holy Spirit becomes our one that helps us to understand. He can become that leadership that we so desperately need as human beings. We don't really know the will of God. But when we listen to the will of God, to heaven, the will of God, we start eating it, it becomes life. It becomes a you just don't know. It's like I'm taking a class, but I've got a bad leg since I had my stroke. But that class has something in it that makes my leg come back to normal or quits hurting. What it does, it works on your inner part of your body. My leg can be just hurting me, really hurting bad out there, if everybody can understand what I'm saying. My leg was really hurting. Seriously, and 15, 20 minutes, it quits hurting. Because it's the right, and that's what the Holy Spirit does for you when you let the Holy Spirit, you're not arguing no more, you're not hurting, the Spirit of God becomes alive. That's a great, that's why the Lord let me know this, I think now, because it's for this, that you need the Holy Spirit to help you digest the Word of God. You don't need to argue with someone else, because we're all at different levels. As you grow, it's going to probably be a different meaning, maybe a year from now it does right now, because you're at a different level. And we grow as in the Lord. There's no argument to it. God's word is so big, so powerfully, that you can take one word, one sentence there, and you'll probably live, if you've got to allow you, 1,000 meanings. God's got a lot of meanings that we don't even know about. What I'm saying, We need to know from the Spirit of God. We get translations. We get different versions. And we think that's the answer. No. The Holy Spirit is the director. And He lets us. We can take King James Version, which I've owned just from the King James. And you learn mightily because the King James Version is true. I'm not saying anything about the other versions. But the King James, I'm saying it can help you. And there's people saying they don't, can't hear it. They don't understand it. But the Spirit of God will bring it alive within you. It'll give you direction. And the King James can do it. Then all the other ones that they're easier, it should help you. I'm not going to argue. I'm going to stay with the King James. But that's for me. I think the King James is very special. I love the way the King James words is. It's easy to remember. It's easy to quote if you use King James. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf whose hearts is made perfect toward Him. To me, that's King James, but it's real plain. Now, some people say, that's not what it should be. It should be this way. Well, that's all right. But for me to memorize, it's very easy. I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. That's King James. Now, when I first started out in Bible school, they had the American Standard. And there's sometimes I go back, find an American Standard Bible, and I look at it, and a lot of things through the book of Matthew, I took a class on Matthew, and we were supposed to learn, actually, per word, on a lot of what Matthew was. And every once in a while I'll get it. And it's still, I can still remember those words. All, it's 50 some years ago. So translations have a different meaning, but they should have a opening to heaven. It should have an opening to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that's the first place that we all got to come to. That's that new birth. We need that. When the old man passed away, behold, all things become new. That renewing of the Spirit, that's renewing when you accept Jesus. That's a special time. It should be a highlight in your life. It should be the most wonderful day that you've ever had. It's a glorious day. The glory of God should be in there and alive that day. Jesus is real. Oh, I feel His glory. You should be so in love with Jesus tonight that you don't have what? You're not satisfied with nothing less than Jesus. He's your Savior. He's going to come back and get you. And that's why you're here. You need to stay, be in good hands with the Holy Ghost. He will keep you until He comes back. He's here sort of the school teacher for you. He's your helper. He prompts you. He tells you. And the Holy Spirit is everything you need to keep you in line for Jesus. He doesn't take anything from Jesus. He adds to Jesus. You can get more power. It's like gasoline. Gasoline goes farther. And that's what we do with the Holy Spirit. It goes farther. It's more because you know every day He anoints you. He blesses you. He strengthens you. He gives you insight. You hear from heaven. And we all need to hear from heaven. We need to hear, you abide in me and my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will and it shall be done. You need to believe that when you abide in me and my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will and it shall be done. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he also do also, and greater works shall he do, because I go to the Father, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do it, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. If you love me, keep my commandments. And says that I will pray the Father, and he will send forth another Comforter, and the Comforter he shall abide within you, and he shall reprove the world's sin. He'll not leave you. He'll abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, but you can receive him, but he lives within you. The Spirit of God lives in you. That's something that we can't say, I don't know it, because he's my part of me. I can't tell you how he is, because he's wonderful. I don't tell him what to do. And that's what this new mark, what I get out of what I've heard here in the last year or so, we're always telling him what to do. No, it's the other way around. He tells you what to do. I went up to Shingletown. Other than all the world, you know where Shingletown is. That's a little town up in the mills. My brother was right here tonight. He and I went together, and it was a rainy night. And we went up there, and this pastor, he was asking me, was the service got over with, he says, I would like for you to pray with me for something. I said, what do you want me to pray with you about? Well, he says, I'm going to put this thing on for Easter, wasn't it? And he says, I want the weather to be so-and-so because I'm putting it on. I want you to pray that God's going to bless me that. And I said, well, did you ask God about it? He said, no. I said, I'm not going to ask him to bless you. I said, you've got this turned around backwards. See, Brother Clinton was right. I told him. His eyes just fell when I said, he should be praying to him and giving him. He should be telling you what he wants you to do. And he would also tell you about the weather if he was where he should be. These things, when we get them turned around backwards, we're trying to make God fit our plans. You see, it doesn't work that way. God says, fit in my plans. But we try to have it the other way around. Well, if I build me a church down here, Lord, I want you to bless me. I want you to give me 100 members that's got a lot of money in their pocket because they're going to keep me. And God says, hey, that ain't the way it worked, bud. You come and work for me, and I'll do all this other thing, but you're going to listen to me, what I want you to do. Now, that's from the Spirit of God. You shouldn't have no board meetings or nothing. I mean, there shouldn't be, the Spirit of God should be the leadership. If it's working right, it'll be come off perfect. And that when I told this man that, his countenance just fell down. He said, I've never heard of this before. I said, well, that's what it is. I said, if you want to walk in the Spirit, you listen what the Spirit says. And that's what the Word said. You listen to what the Spirit of God says. The other way, we're trying to cohorse God to doing our will. So we put God in a place that God says, hey, it's my work down there, but you're wanting me to do it this way. And we said, yeah, And so the Lord says, well, I'm not going to really give you any supernatural power that way. So you just do it your own way because, you know, you're doing the humanistic way. So the church, most of the time, is working in the humanistic way. When the Word of God works through the Spirit. The Spirit works as He speaks. See, Spirit don't make the mistakes. Now, I could have been like a lot of fundamentalist Christians. I say, that can't be so. That can't be so. So we want to argue with the Spirit. No. About all the glory is done on me now. The glory of God. We don't argue with God. Because there's something that comes from heaven. I can't describe it just like now. It's like all heaven comes down and touches my head. It's not a feeling in this world like it is right now. I know if the whole world would say, hey, you're against me, I'd say, no, I'm with God. That feeling, that staying right with me, it's the glory of God. It's a feeling that when all's well, there's nothing that satisfies. Oh, this has been so wonderful tonight. But this glory of God is just, He put in molasses. Oh, glory to God. He just anointed me with the Spirit, mighty and heavenly. And that's what we want. And that's the way you walk through the Spirit. It used to be this way all the time. It's coming back. I could be on a job. I'm just a working mechanic. The Spirit of God, I'd start asking the question. And if that Spirit didn't feel like that, I knew that I was getting off course. Because when it gets right, you know it. And I'll tell you, this Holy Spirit is real. You don't have to guess. If no one wants it, that's okay. The Lord says, don't argue with nobody. It's real. And I've never been wrong one time. On Caterpillars, I never was wrong. I don't know one machine that God didn't perform the miracle. It was perfect. Now myself, before this happened, I was always having trouble. You know, I was a Christian. I was Christian, but I wasn't all the way Christian. And God wants us all the way. The songbooks are so special. All the way my Savior leads me. We sing that. We're telling a lie because most of them are not there. That's what gets me about these songs. We're singing something that we're not. And those that want it, they're kicked out of the camp. I know that too. So these songs, God sees them as detrimental at times, because we say, my God is real. He's not real to some of us. We're singing it. See, that's speaking a falsehood through your mouth, because other people love it. And you're getting the rhythm of a song, you like it, but you're not doing what you're saying. Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. We're singing life into our heart, but we're not listening. See, that's what really made me change for 8 years of praying. I was in church services, and everybody was singing, I love you, Lord. And those same people was out here fighting people, all the things, and they weren't, I knew they weren't where they should be. I said, what is wrong? The Lord told me, he says, you pray a while and I'll show you. So I prayed a year, prayed another year, prayed another year, prayed another year, prayed another year. I said, Lord, no, it's still not enough. Pray more. I prayed 7 years. God came down. He started showing me how bad the hearts were of men, how the hearts deceive us, how we, our hearts, we're not working with our heart. We get some person that writes these songs that really loves the Lord, and when we're trying to adapt that to us, but we're not really mean it. We're speaking a lie. And pretty soon, God says it hardens our heart. So a lot of us have hard hearts from just singing songs untruthfully. See, we should mean what we're singing. That's what church is all about. But song service is really detrimental because you can sing a song to your heart and it's far from you. I love you, Lord. If I not mean that, I should not be saying it. That's why Brother Freedom doesn't do a lot of singing. Because people that don't know where they are, it brings damnation to you. And pretty soon, your life gets really out of control. And before long, you're singing something you don't even mean. God's omnipotent. And He watches over the child of God. He watches over you. He'll keep you. He'll help you. And when you leave this world, you don't have to worry where you're headed. You know there's no imp in hell can keep you because you're bigger than that imp. You can trample him down. And God gives you all power. You don't do it to gloat about it, but He gives you that authority. Need to be that God will not leave you. The whole world will come against you and He won't let nothing happen to you. He'll give you insight. He'll bless you. He'll encourage you. And there's no other way that you can get this only but from starting out eating the Word. Eating the Word is a special place to start out to where you start digesting the Word of God, that God comes down, and then you start praying and you start seeking God. See, we have to do a little seeking. We'd have to do some soul searching. We have to say, Lord, is that true to me? He says, yeah, it is. Am I really that bad? Says, yes, you are. Yeah, you just need to straighten up a little bit because I still love you. I love you just like you are, but you're sort of messed up. That's what I was. Really messed up. And I'm still messed up. I got to keep on edge from God. And these people that say we don't have to grow, oh, Kamashita, they don't know what they're talking about. They've never sensed the feeling from heaven. And they don't know what it is for God to come down and talk in your heart. Like here, about 5 years ago, Betty was pretty sick. But I could get away about 30 minutes a day. And when I'd go, the Lord start talking to me. It was so wonderful. The Lord started telling me, says, hey, he says, you know what? And God was just speaking this to me. And I get so full, I just call Brother Cliff. And I said, man, this is... But he started out telling me that New Orleans was going to be destroyed. Almost a year ahead of time. It happened exactly like he said. Word for word, he's always never fail. When he's given me a word to go in someplace, he was always with me. You know, sometimes we can get a little afraid to go God's way because we're afraid that God might do something wrong for us, but we got to get that out of our hearts. We got to trust God that He's going to take care of us. He's going to bless us, and He's not mean. God's will come. He's the glorious of all powers. The enemy is the one that's mean. He is so treacherous, so lying, so despicable. I don't know how to describe Him, but He's terrible. Here a while back, I had to say, get out of my life, you evil beast. And he got out of my life. But sometimes you have to say, hey, I'm tired of you. Get away, bub. I'm not wanted around here. Well, that's what God was us. We need to kick out the bad stuff that's in us. And we're all are made up of bad and good spirits. It's up to us to try to work out those bad spirits. Because we have a certain amount of those within us, all of us. Pretty much, God wants us to renew our minds. The Word of Spirit of God become alive in us. And we couldn't have that renewing unless there was some problems within us. There's some things that God wants to change. The pruning, in the 15th chapter of St. John, the pruning of the branches. If you abide in me and my word, bride, you should ask what you will and it shall be done. That's in the 15th chapter of St. John. And the Word of God is powerful. And when that's what the Word of God comes in, if we eat it, it starts taking away this bad stuff that's in me. We start taking on, when you get rid of this, then the Father's nature starts coming into us. A new will, a new power, a new direction. And nothing feels as good as that cleanliness, that cleanness of God. The cleanness of God is real. The anointing of God is so beautiful, so majestic, so powerful, so anointing. It gives you a life that sustains you, that holds you up, uplifts you, that encourages you, strengthens you in a mighty way. And you can't get this in any other way but through the Spirit. And it's done as we grow in the Spirit. It don't come overnight. It comes as we grow. You need someone that's seasoned in the Spirit like I am here to help you in those areas where you can grow through it. Because you'll never really have a real wonderful life in the Lord until this breakthrough comes. Because then you get power. All people from the Lord have to come through that place of that break. I know when that breakthrough is powerful. It's glorious. And that, and you're just like my hand right now. The Spirit of God makes himself known. He's here in a thousand. I can't how glorious. This is a wonderful day. A wonderful night because he's here with power. I wouldn't take anything for tonight. It's glorious because God is here with the Spirit. And that alone is worth everything. You know, in a lot of churches you can't feel the Spirit no more. But he's here tonight. His power is here. And he's here to help you. And this is going on over the whole world. Out there, if you have a need, whatever need is, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is here to help you, to strengthen you, to uphold you, renewing a right spirit in you that you might put on the new man after God, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, there it is, holiness. I didn't even have, we believe in holiness to live, have a holy behavior. That's pretty good. Holy behavior. You know, when you think about it, you have a holy behavior. Your behavior is becoming to a child of God. Now, each one of us has something to think about. God wants us to be a light that shines. And if we don't really have the true stuff, we can't shine. As we start growing in the Spirit, then we start having God's input into our lives. That's what it is. God just comes down in your life and starts helping you, and every little issue, you might think they're little, but they're very hard issues unless you have the Spirit of God. When his Spirit is there, that's easy. When his Spirit's not there, we stumble. We make mistakes. We're troubled. But you're not troubled when the Spirit of God's there. You have great expectations that glorious things are going to happen because you trust in the living God that wants to live within your heart. We are the temple. Bible says, we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell with them. I will walk with them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's us. We shall be their people. Therefore, come out from among them. We're to come out from among them. Be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I shall receive you. And I shall be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and my daughters, said the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, it says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness, flesh, perfecting holiness. There's that word holiness again. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's the bottom line. We're to walk in holy living. We're to walk as achievers in the Spirit of God. God just doesn't want us to just live like a lot of people live, but comparing the word, arguing about the word. No, God don't care anything about that. You eat this word where it becomes satisfying to you. You take this word and this pages start finding itself down inside of you. And pretty soon it starts coming out of you like my brother. Oh, the word starts coming out of you. Abide in me, my words abide in you. You'll start praying the unction for the Spirit of God. You'll start getting the Spirit of God would be alive within you. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk upright before Him. No good thing will He withhold. That's God. There's nothing He'll withhold from them that walk upright before Him. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you should ask what you will, and it shall be done. Boy, what's that saying? The things that we ask for shall be done. Call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things you do not. Then you start calling upon God, and God's going to bless you. You're going to pray for the sick, they're going to get healed. You pray for people all the world, they're going to get touched. We're seeing that right now. People all the world getting touched from a nobody. But God has a great pilot system. See, the manufacturers build these great big excavators with big, big, big cylinders, pick up thousands of pounds. And if you had to use a mechanical valving system, there wouldn't be no operator could run one of those machines. They're too big, too much oil going by those valves, and break your arms. But they can put a pilot system on it, and you put a little bit of electric control here, or it can be done hydraulically. And that hydraulic, say, runs pilot pressure on maybe 500 pounds. The main piston pressure and the other piston pump are up to 4,000 pounds. And they got cylinders this big around with 4,000 pounds on the head of that. Every time that rod goes in and out, the oil's on one side, displaces that oil at 4,000 PSI, something's going to come. So an operator couldn't run it. So manufacturers make this pilot system, the little bitty controls, real sensitive, like a lady could drive it, run just probably better because their fingers are real sensitive. And this pilot system, when it sends a current down through, it could be done through wires or through a steel line with oil pressure. Either one, one's done with electricity, one's done through oil pressure. As that is done, it touches this valve over here. When it hits this, oh, it opens that, starts opening that valve up because it multiplies maybe 1,000 to 1, the effort. So you're seeing that great big boom go up and down like that, and you're getting a great big bucket on the end, and all these things are happening. But the operator's effort is very minute. It does great things. Well, that's what we do with God. You'll just do that real little bitty prayer like Brother Freedom does. It's just nothing. Sometimes I don't even hardly pray. I said, Lord, just take care of it. He does it. I know I'm not in shape to pray. He said, okay, I'll take care of it. And God just takes care of it. Brother Freedom didn't do nothing. That's the pilot system. We just do a little bit. You don't look at your part. God just wants you to be faithful in Him. So He's not asking you to be how strong you are, but just be there. Just work that pilot system. A lady can even do it, son. So you just do it too. See, a lady can do just what you men can do with God too. Doesn't make any difference. God just has a pilot system. And that pilot system means when you do a little prayer, He sends all heaven down on you. And you know that ladies in South Africa, Philippines, you know, right now, it's happened to me time and time again. I said, she's healed right now. Oh, come on, sheep to the mold. That's the Spirit of God. It's faster than anything that man's ever made. Glory! It's fast! And I'll tell you, it's the most wonderful adventure that you can ever be part of, seeing God move mightily. I don't know what He does there in Pennsylvania, but those people just get healed overnight. Tony just keeps writing, Tony, bless you. I love it. I love to see God move through the pilot system. He gave His angels charge you to keep thee in all thy ways, and they shall bear thee up in their hand, lest thou even dash thy foot against a stone. He will do it for you. Only thing that we got to do is live in holiness. Holy living. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. If you want to live holy, God's going to bless you. If you want to live just mediocre, well, you'll just get a little bit of, you'll get touched, but that's all you're going to get. And that's where Christians are. They just get a little bit touched. They get enough just to make them miserable. That's right. They just get to know that Satan's got power. He has got power. But you don't have to worry about it if you're on fire with God. But you do have to worry about it if you're playing around. He's going to get you. It's like electricity. If you don't have the right insulation, you're going to get burnt. And I'll tell you what, Satan, if you don't have the right God's installation upon you, you're going to get zapped. And I'd recommend none of you to play around, because it's not a good thing when Satan sends seven sons of Sceva, when it took them out, pulled their clothes off, and they're naked. Satan's got power, but God's got more power. God's got power, power, power. Christian, you should smile. Just a happy smile. Oh, we should smile for God. Happy, happy. We're happy. Aren't you happy? Happiness. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. God's our strength. He's our source. He is our waymaker. He's the keeper. And you need to learn to walk by using his pilot system. You can't get it done, but living for the Lord, it'll get done. You don't have to worry about it. If that girl don't get healed, it's not your fault. You just do what God tells you to do. Don't worry about whether she's going to get healed. See, everybody's getting, we're going to lose your reputation. I ain't got no reputation to lose, so I'm at the bottom of the barrel. You know, don't get that guy in your church. He's troubled. You know, that's what those kind of things, what you hear. But it's God that you're concerned about. And if you'll get this round with God, God's our God. His eyes are always open to us at all times. The Holy Spirit moves within us, but also our Father observes everything. He sees all that we go through. He sees when someone mistreats you. Whatever happens, he's going to take care of you. His eye is over the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. He says, call to me, and I answer thee, and I show you great and mighty things that you know not. When the enemy comes in like a flood, yea, the Lord thy God shall raise up a standard against him. I like to read that. When the enemy comes in like a flood, hear that? When the enemy comes in like a flood, God's going to raise up a standard against him. Now you can see it the other way. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up, not like a better one. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God's going to raise up a standard against him. See, the way we get the word sometimes, he makes a difference in the King James. God is going to take a standard for us. He's the one, that our benefactor. He's our helper. He's our strength that we need. When we go through life, many people go through life and never really feel and never sense God's awesome power. That's worthy to think about. If you want something to think about what God has for you, what God will do for you. And he's not a respecter of person. It's up to us to fulfill the requirements, his needs. And sometimes, like me, I had to pray for 8 years. And that was just the starting point. Then when 1977, when it took place, the Lord says, now I want you to tithe your tithe and read my word. Do you think I could have been this way? I said, if I'd been natural thinking, I said, Lord, I'm not going to do that because I've already proved myself for you. No, I didn't prove nothing. The Lord had something more for me to do. It was just a starting point. So then I started to have to read in the word 2 hours and about 40 minutes a day. When I did this happen, when you do something like this, God's going to really bless you. But then he said something else. He says, by doing this, when you get in your truck, which I drove my truck a lot of miles, when you get behind the steering wheel, you don't worry what you're doing because you'll drive better than you ever did before. I had my eyes open, but I prayed in the spirit. And I'd like to drive all the way to Sudanville. I'd pray, just keep praying in the spirit. When I got to Sudanville, I knew exactly what I was going to do before I got out of that truck. Exactly. I knew one time I went there, drove all that ways. The Lord says, just tell me what is wrong with before I even got out of the truck. The Spirit of God is really powerful. Like my brother, I prayed for him 2 hours and 40 minutes. He came back to life. The Spirit of God is really powerful. People don't understand how much God has to offer us if we want to really work for the Lord. But we don't do these works for people to be seen in us. See, that's where we've got all of our things wrong in the conventional church. Everybody knows when you do something, it's for more of a show. It's to get up and this way you're doing it only for the Lord. And God really makes himself real to your heart. At that same time, the Lord showed me about the end time. He showed me what was going to happen within 20, 30 years, like right now. All these things he did, just it was just a magnificent power of God that God brought in. But if I'd ever stopped one time and said, I'm not going to read the Word of God, that's just, it's all over. Like when I told the Lord, I said, I didn't want to weld that tap. The Lord says, it's all over. That's okay. You'll just call quits. Because I said, well, what if I miss? I have to buy a new block, which I could have. The Lord said, if you got that thinking, I can't use you. And I said, Betty will leave me. And he said, well, that thinking, I'm not going to do it. You've got to believe that I'm your answer, and at all costs, you're going to do it. I said, okay, I know, and that was, I can remember from that on, I did not have no question that I wanted to do it, even if it happened. I didn't care what happened. I wanted to just fulfill God's desire within me. I wanted to do it because that's what he wanted me to do. That's why I did it. And I had to learn that at that age, that God had a special point for us doing something. We don't think. When God gives you a command, you quit thinking. And that's why we can't hear from the Spirit. Because we're trying to analyze what the Spirit says. And you're not supposed to analyze it. You're supposed to believe God. It becomes life for you. So if you're analyzing here, the Spirit's already been dissolved. It's just down here. It's all, you have no more power. But you got to keep it in his channels. With that channel, like one morning in church, I was trying to be so churchy. Church says, you got to let me move through you, the Spirit. Everybody else is asleep. That's what the Lord told me. And I looked around, there was actually people asleep at church. And so I said, okay, I seen Jesus walking through the aisle that morning. He was crying. I said, Jesus, could you just talk to me? I said, why are you crying? He says, my son, you're going to find this out. They don't want me in their hearts. It took me a while to understand that. But it means Jesus came that we might be holy people. We might be a anointed person. And the church wasn't. I started seeing that. And I can see it today. The church is not anointed like God would have it be. God wants the church to flourish. God wants them. But people have never been indoctrinated. It's been a religious church. And God's had to move in this religious church in a very limited way. Because the elements that men are using are just the fundamental moving of the Spirit. It's not in any depth in the Spirit. Not what I know about today. And that's why the Lord told me tonight, says, you know, this thing that happened, you know, it was probably a religious spirit. That's what he told me tonight. That religious spirits are really, they're against anybody that are led by the Spirit. But you don't have to worry about them. They're harmless. They can't do nothing to you. You got power over them. You got to come to that point. Which side are we on? See, I broke through a long time ago. I'm on God's side. And when I seen this happen in jail, I had success that nobody else ever had in jail. I believe that. Those prisoners would just come down and 50 would give heart to Jesus. That was just the Spirit of God. It was there real. But God was alive in that jail. The deputies didn't know what to do. Pretty soon they never seen nothing like this happen. I mean, those prisoners are praying for people to get healed. And they said, well, brother, our leader, we're going to help him. And this one guy, man, come up. He says, I want to speak tonight. I said, well, sure, go ahead. But God was this powerful. He says, you know, I'm a hell's angel. And if any of you guys in this jail comes against, he pointed me. He says, I'll deal with you personally. Because I love this man. That's what that guy said. Those guys love me. Because they knew it was real. They was tired, and these other churches come in with their ABC Christian, they'd laugh at them. They said, why do they even come in here? See, we go in with our tinker toys, and our tinker toys are not good enough to fight God's war. We need to have tanks. We need to have God's power, God's anointing. And I'm saying this through the Spirit tonight. I've seen around 500 souls saved out of the jail. And those men, most of them would become preachers, teachers. I mean, they went every place. But it's the Spirit of God. You can't do it in yourself. We need the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will build a church. The Spirit of God will bring people into your church. The Spirit of God will set people free. The Spirit of God will bring liberty, bring power, the anointing. I'm going to quit because it's time to quit. But I love you. God's here to bless you, to meet your need tonight. You need to have Jesus. You need to have the power of the Holy Ghost from the very crown of your head, the very sole of your feet, that you walk in His umbrella. That's God's umbrella. We can't do this within ourselves no longer. We failed God. We never know the plan. But you get in God's plan, God's just showing you what to do, what to do, and you do it. I don't have to worry about nothing that way. Like I come here tonight, I didn't know nothing going on. God took over. It's real simple. And God don't make mistakes. But I know if I'm not going to make too many mistakes either. Because I'm not my own. God wants to use you right where you are. So out there through the world tonight, God wants to use you exactly where you are. Just give yourself to God tonight and God will bless you. Repent this night. Repent and ask Him to come in your heart in a very new way. Lord, I accept you as my Savior. I want you this night to satisfy me, to strengthen me, to uphold me, to make me a new man, a new woman. In your power tonight, strengthen me forevermore. And I pray this in existence. We pray this in existence for every soul tonight, that they become channeled with your Spirit, your anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. And amen. God bless all. God bless you all. And amen. Amen. God bless you.
Tony asked for a special prayer for Al and Karen. Their marriage is falling apart and Al is distraught about it.
Al and Karen right now. Father, I just pray for Al and Karen. I don't know them, but I pray for your anointing tonight. I know that you're going to touch them. I know you're going to bring healing this night to them. I know that you're going to touch them in Jesus' name. It's done. It's done. Amen. It's over. Al and Karen, it's over. It's okay. You need to make reunion tonight. Because it's going to be a new marriage. It's going to be a new walk, a new talk, a new blessing. Go for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.